Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 21. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. This episode covers how to keep moving forward when you have chronic pain and injury, and it's the mindset to overcome any obstacle in life, to never settle and keep moving forward. We're all going to hit roadblocks in life with chronic pain and injury, with our mental health, with our relationships, with life. Most people settle and give up on the life true to themselves. In this episode, I will go through a life-changing perspective that will enable you to not settle and keep moving forward no matter what. It's ancient wisdom that has echoed throughout the ages, all the way through to modern times today. I will show you how to implement this in your life. I'm going to split this episode up into two parts. So first, we'll go through the origin of it, like how did it come into my life? Where did I learn about it from? And second part then, the application of it, like how did I actually use this in my life? And the results from it. So with the origin, where did I first hear this? It's funny because like loads of clients say it back to me. Even random people on Instagram say it back to me. Like, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. And like people have tagged me and said that. It's really helped them, etc. I didn't actually make it up. People are like attributing it to me. But I actually heard it from C.T. Fletcher. So it's a bit of a random story because it's not even like one of his sayings. So if you don't know C.T. Fletcher, he was a powerlifter and a weightlifter. He's like in his 60s now. And he was like, when I Googled it there, just to double check, it was 3-time world bench press champion and 3-time world like bicep curl champion. So a person who's mad into the gym and he's massive on like motivation and inspiring people. If you don't know who he is, if you do know who he is, you know all about C.T. Fletcher with all his inspirational videos. So I actually heard it from him, and he just kind of said it in passing on a podcast. I couldn't find the podcast again, and I couldn't find him saying that anywhere in any of his social media or anything. So it's just so funny that when I first heard it from him, I thought it was one of the wisest things I've ever heard, and he just said it passively on a podcast without even thinking about it by the looks of it. So it was on a podcast with Joe Rogan. This is going back years now, and C.T. Fletcher, as we're saying, he was mad into the gym, you know, hit these world records and everything, but now, like, he had to get a heart transplant. So he had, like, heart issues, heart attacks, loads of different things. I won't remember all the specifics, doesn't really matter, but he was on about having a recent heart transplant. Because he was on the list for a while, and then eventually he got one, and the donor, if I'm not mistaken, was an Asian woman. So if we think of C.T. Fletcher, this massive like powerlifter, weightlifter type of guy who was doing incredible things with his body before, to, you know, having all this illness, having heart attacks, having to get a heart transplant, it's all been taken away from him. And then obviously an Asian woman's heart isn't exactly the heart that C.T. Fletcher had, if you just think of even the size. So yeah, he's, you know, forced to settle, basically. You know, this is why I was watching him, because I found his story really inspiring. And, you know, Joe Rogan is obviously like, Jesus Christ, this is madness, like, because you're still going to the gym. Because this is what he was saying, he's like, I'm still in the gym, yeah. And Joe's like, what? Like, you know, after everything you've been through, like, you just got a heart transplant, whatever. And then C.T. Fletcher, it was just like so matter-of-factly, he's like, yeah, I'm in the gym. And then I'm obviously paraphrasing, I can't remember, but Joe's like, how are you in the gym? Like, how are you still doing these things? And he's like, I'm just doing the lighter weights, you know, I'm just doing the lighter weights, still doing what I can. And Joe's like, man, like, that's so inspiring, whatever. And then C.T. Fletcher, just the way he said it, like, I literally paused it and just had such an epiphany moment. He just literally said, as in, like, you idiot, Joe, like, what else would I do? He just said, if you can't do what you want, you do what you can. And that was it. Like, that's how it entered my life. I literally paused it and was like, holy shit. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. You know, and it was just, I'd started to get into loads of different philosophy and psychology and different things, but the one-liners are great. It literally fits so much wisdom and things that I've been starting to realise in life into one sentence that was even so catchy that, like, once you hear it, you can't forget it. You know, and that's obviously the best, like, that's what teaching is. It's trying to get an idea from your mind into somebody else's mind in the easiest way, in a way that will stick. So that's why one-liners are great. So that one-liner was perfect. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. And I never forgot it. And I literally rewinded it like 5 times and just watched it again. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is the stuff that I need to get into now, because that's when I was coming through my own journey, trying to overcome the chronic pains and injuries and not settle. So that was it. Seeing C.T. Fletcher not settling after all he'd been through and having a heart transplant, and he's still going to the gym, getting after it, doing what he can. You know, That was so inspiring. So that's actually where I took it from. And I started using it myself since then. And obviously then overcame my own chronic pain injury, became a coach to help others through it. And, you know, that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And that's actually a module in the Physical Freedom Education Hub, in the Physical Freedom Program, that I help clients through. And I teach every client that for like their mindset section. And so many clients in the reviews afterwards literally write that, you know, got the results, blah, blah, blah. Some of Mark's mindset stuff changed, not only for me getting my physical freedom back, but for other parts of my life. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. And again, it's kind of funny because I'm like, I took that from C.T. Fletcher and nobody knows. But, well, that's what I tell them, but no one really knows when they're tagging me on Instagram and stuff. So that was it. That's the origin, how it entered into my life. Going on from that, then I was reading more into Stoicism. So it's like Stoicism has the same perspective change, because I should say that's literally what it is. It's a perspective change, and it turns obstacles into opportunities so that you can keep moving forward. That's really what it is. So look, perspective change, mindset change, whatever you want to call it, but that's what it does. It shifts the way you see the obstacle in front of you, and it turns it into an opportunity, which is one of the most empowering things in the world, because it means you never have to settle now. There's always something you can do. And in Stoicism, they call that the obstacle is the way. So that was a book written by Ryan Holiday. So Ryan Holiday is someone who writes about Stoicism. He tries to bring like the ancient wisdom into modern life. And he called that, instead of saying if you can't do what you want, do what you can, he called it the obstacle is the way. And that book is coming all the way back from Marcus Aurelius, one of the most famous people in the Stoicism realm. And he said, like, I can even remember this stuff: the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And basically that means the obstacle is the way. So the impediment to action, the thing that stops action, the impediment to action, I can't even remember now when I said it a second ago, but basically the thing that stands in the way, that becomes the way. That's the thing you actually need to elevate you to new purpose, to new opportunities, and keep moving forward. So that's exactly what C.T. Fletcher did. Oh, I got a heart transplant. What would 99.9% of the world say? I'm never training again. What does C.T. Fletcher say? I can't do this, but now I can do that. I can still train the gym and work on these things and inspire people, etc. So instead of seeing the obstacle, he saw the opportunity. So then, yeah, reading the Stoicism books, that's where I came across it. Ryan Holiday's book, Obstacle is the Way. I read that book. It was amazing. And then I'm like, yeah, this is basically what C.T. Fletcher said. And this is why I say, like, when you follow the results in life, you'll see the patterns. You'll see it in so many different places. Like, that's coming from, you know, Greece and Rome 2,000 years ago, and then I see it in C.T. Fletcher, maybe he saw it from there. Like, you'll just see, it's the empowering way to live life. You'll see the patterns in loads of different places. So that's the origin of it. I heard it from C.T. Fletcher, and then it's in Stoicism as well, which is, if you want to read a book about it, you could read Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. And even, I wrote a newsletter on that maybe a year or two ago, and like, it's been used by some NFL winning teams. So that book got so popular, it was Seattle Seahawks or something like that, and the coach would have given that book to all of his players to help them turn all the problems that they're having individually into opportunities and help them win the NFL. Like, look, you'll never know how much it actually helped, but at that elite level, even 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% is what makes the difference. So moving on to the application of it then, I'm kind of walking through my own journey, really, because I heard it from C.T. Fletcher then, you know, reading Stoicism and all these other philosophy and psychology, and seeing that, yeah, this is the way forward. Look, if I don't want to settle for these chronic pains and injuries, for, you know, social anxiety, not being my true self, for the 9-to-5 life, etc., this is the way. Like, this literally is the only way forward with it. So the first application then, the first big one, we'll say, like, big one with, like, such clear results, was when I got a Maisonneuve fracture. So I'd already overcome the chronic pain and injury at this stage for maybe a year. And then I got another serious injury, probably the worst, one of the worst injuries I've ever had, where a Maisonneuve fracture, if you don't know, is when you tear your ankle ligaments, but you break your leg at the same time. So it's a double whammy. So if you could imagine like your leg going kind of inwards, and because it goes inwards, like you tear the ankle ligaments, and then your leg breaks up near the top of the knee at the outside, because the force goes into the ankle, tears the ligaments, and then the force comes all the way up towards the top of the leg underneath the knee, and the fibula, which is the weaker leg bone, snaps then on the outside. So I got a Maisonneuve fracture when I was actually interrailing in Poland. Now isn't the time for the actual story, but it's not the one I told everybody. But, so I was still working at Facebook at the time. I said I slipped down some steps, which I did not. But, story for another day. So I got Mae's new fracture anyway when I was in Poland. Oh, Christ. Worst day in my life. There's a big long story there. You know, I'll tell that story a different day because it was a big mad story of like I ended up walking home on it. Didn't know my leg was broken or my ankle ligaments were torn. I had to go into the hospital. All this sort of stuff in Poland. Like, it was madness. But from that, okay, so then I'd learned all the stuff around the philosophy. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. The obstacle is the way. And this was the one moment. Like, look, I'm same as everyone else. I was bawling, crying. I had 2 days there where I was so upset. I was like, look, all this effort to come back, get my physical freedom back. Now I was thinking, like, just starting the coaching journey. And now I'm like, this could be over. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to get proper movement back again and all this. So it was a really tough time for those 2 days. And I had to go through all the emotions like everyone else does. But then after those 2 days, because it worked so much in my mindset, I'm like, this is it. It's time to, you know, as Marcus Aurelius would say, you know, stop thinking about what a good man is, be one. Like, it was time to start doing these things myself and stop looking at other people being inspired by them. Like, it's time for me now to step up and start doing these things. So that's what I did. I said, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. My leg is broke, my ankle ligaments are broke, but what can I do? I can use this myself as a guinea pig to do my own rehab and recovery and try to come back in less than half the time than the doctors are telling me, because I'd learned so much about the body. I know so much about it. And what the doctors are telling me, I don't agree with it, even though they're, quote, the experts. So there's one. Another one, lower body training is gone. What does that mean? I have more opportunity to train upper body towards the handstand push-up and the one-arm chin-up. Now I can do 3 sessions a week instead of 1 or 2. Cool. What else can I have? I can use this, quote, catastrophe as a stage to show my greatness. As the Stoics would say, as a stage to show how much I've worked on my mindset, how much the don't settle attitude is changing my life, how adaptable the human body is, like how much the right attitude and approach can overcome anything and inspire people so much more than I had before, because now it's another big injury. So like there was 3 or 4 things there where I took the obstacle and I flipped it into an opportunity. And that's what I did. So like, you know, people, I was literally, I think, only starting the coaching journey then or early enough. So like my family thought I was a bit mental. My mum and dad were very worried because I was doing early rehab. And like, but after day 2, I was doing chin-ups in the house with my bar. You know, doing chin-ups with the cast on my leg after breaking my leg 2 days ago and tearing my ankle ligaments. And even my roommates were like, I don't think you should be doing that. but yeah, as a, you know, done all the mindset stuff. I'm like, look, I know what's true to me. I've done all the research on the science and stuff. I know what I'm doing. I don't need everyone else to understand me. That's a big block for your own mental freedom, needing other people to see your way and needing other people to understand why you're doing it. I didn't need that anymore. So I was doing rehab on my own leg from day 2 when the doctor said, wait 7 weeks. No thanks. It'll get weaker. And funnily enough, I actually have brought a client, 2 other clients through the Mae's new fracture recovery as well. One in less than half the time. The other one's actually on the recovery journey now from seeing my own journey. So there's a better way to do things than the average route. Jesus, trying to get too many tangents here. So stick on that. Yeah, the Mae's new fracture. So then, yeah, I was doing the rehab from day 2. The long story short there, I ended up returning to jiu-jitsu in the gym after it was either 7 or 9 weeks. I can't exactly remember off the top of my head, but 7 to 9 weeks, that's 2 months. The average recovery is 5 months. So I fucking smashed it. Like, I was like, I think I can come back in half the time from all the stuff I know. I came back in less than half the time. Like, even 7 to 9 weeks, I was only meant to be coming off the crutches, coming out of the boot and starting rehab. And I was walking, squatting, doing jiu-jitsu, you know. And again, nothing to do with me, as other clients will show. Go look at Frances McCormack's testimonial on the Physical Freedom Program page. You'll see she did the same thing. Got back to a wedding to her best friend's wedding and was even able to dance at the wedding when she would have only been coming out of the boot if she stayed following the doctor's advice. So it's just amazing adaptability of the human body once you know how it works. So that's what I did. That was one obstacle turned into a massive opportunity, and I came back in half the time. Gave me such confidence in myself as a coach, in the human body and all the stuff I learned, in helping others with this, that I can really change people's lives. Then the other side, I trained upper body 3 times a week because I couldn't train lower body. I ended up actually getting the handstand push-up that year. So I probably wouldn't have got the handstand push-up if I dropped off, because I would have had like 6 months off and I could have given up on it. But I kept training, kept, if I can't do what I want, to do what I can, I kept doing what I can, and I got the handstand push-up that year. And I'm also closer to the one-arm chin-up too. Haven't got that yet, but I'm like 3 kg away from it. So see there, turned another obstacle into an opportunity. And the same thing, even that the fact that I'm telling you this story now, it turned a catastrophe into like showing my greatness. I wouldn't even say my greatness, I'd say the potential greatness in everyone to actually do this. Because as you can see, it's been done in the past, you know, thousands of years into the past, all the way up to now, and it'll be continue to be done in the future by those who understand this. So it's just literally bringing out the greatness within all of us, of our ability to turn obstacles into opportunities going forward. So that was the main one, the amazing new fracture. But like it's been the same with everything else. You could think of all the stuff around like the mental freedom course that I have there, like all the social anxiety, all those other things. Like, I haven't wrote this down for the podcast, but I could easily pull them up. Like, they used to be some of the biggest obstacles in my life. Social anxiety, being so sensitive, all these things. What are they now? They're massive opportunities. Like, they are part of what makes me a really good coach. Like, go and look, read all those reviews and try and find as many reviews that are as good as that. There's like 30 or 40 of them there so far. There's another one going to be added soon, which we'll talk about at the end. I'm not a doctor. I've no quote degree on the body or anything like this. Like, a lot of it is just that I'm obsessed with the body and things like that, so I learn a lot in my own way. But it's those other things, because I understand what it's like to be, you know, to be nervous, to be anxious, to really suffer with chronic pain and all these things. And I just listen to people. Like, I listen to people. I understand where they're coming from. And I'm like their friend through it, and I'm their guide and their coach through it, and I'm there in their corner with them. I'm not up in an ivory tower, like, you know, preaching to people what to do, you know. So I look back on what I thought were the biggest obstacles in my life there in terms of the mental freedom, like the social anxiety, I can't say what I think and all these things. That's turned into, you know, one of my biggest superpowers in a way, you know. And yeah, you can just see it across all parts of life, that kind of obstacle into the opportunity thing. So moving on there, because we're already going a little bit too long. That was the application. So yeah, the amazing new fracture, that was a physical freedom example. Then the mental freedom example I've just given you there. And look, the lifestyle design stuff is the same. Like, taking all the kind of pain of the 9-to-5 life and being in debt and all this, to flipping that, looking at it of, or turning it into an opportunity of, you know, following the passion, doing my own thing, learning how to make money through that route, inspiring others to do it. You know, so like any situation, it can be flipped through that perspective. And to round it off then, like, if you're trying to explain to someone what this is, another way to say it is that it's the best decision on the chessboard of life. I like describing things like that lately. It's just think of life like a chessboard, and think of the advice that people are giving you, and then think, if this was a chess match, chess game, whatever it's called, if it was a chess game, is this a good move or not? And when you look at it through that lens, you'll find that the advice most people are giving you is a shit move on the chessboard. Hence why they're not actually living the life that you were trying to live. And when you bring in this, you know, philosophy, mindset, perspective of, if you can't do what you want, do what you can, this is an amazing move on any chessboard of life. On any chessboard of life, it's a good move, because it's empowering you to keep moving forward no matter what happens. No matter what happens. And I've talked about this many times on Instagram. Like, what can happen to me that I can't turn into an opportunity? You know, all them bad injuries, all the kind of the mental freedom stuff going against me, like all the not living the life I wanted, being really upset with it. Like, you know, I've talked much further. I've thought about these things. I'm like, look, what if I drive my car today on the way to the gym or going home to Roscommon? I'm in a car crash, my fucking legs are chopped off. Cool. I'm going to get the one-arm chin-up quicker now because I weigh a lot less. I'm going to get a lot more reach now with my message of not settling and living true to yourself, because people will feel sorry for me and think, Jesus, look at what he's doing now with no legs. Like, it's obviously going to be horrendous. It's going to be horrible. I'm going to be so upset. But what will I do when I come out of that? I'm going to turn it into an opportunity. You see what I mean? Like, it's anything in life, it can be turned into an opportunity if you work on it. It's not easy. Christ, it is not easy. But if you work on it. And like, I heard another quote as well, which encapsulates what I'm trying to say here, is you learn to take the bricks that life are throwing at you and you build a fucking castle with them. That's it. So throw anything at me. I'll make something out of it. You know, the Stoics would say a different way. They'd be like, when someone tries to put out your fire, you make it like they put gasoline on it, they turn it into a fucking inferno. You see what I mean? Like, that's being anti-fragile. Again, Taleb talks about it in a different way, becoming anti-fragile. So that's literally it. You take the bricks, life throws at you, you build your own fucking castle with them. And you don't have to settle, you can keep moving forward in your own way. So, yeah, geez, we're getting pumped about that one, because even... And actually, yeah, that was the last thing to talk about. I was like, that May's New Fraction one was, you know, years ago now. I think it was 2019. Christ, is that 5 years ago, 4 years ago? But I'm in that situation again now, because I've... two torn meniscus in my knees. And I need to get surgery on my right meniscus, but the surgeon wouldn't do it a few weeks ago. So I still can't bend my right knee. I'm back doing everything through my own rehab. I'm like kickboxing, doing all these other things. I can do all my strength training, but I can't bend my knee fully. So I struggle to do jiu-jitsu properly, because you need to bend your knees a lot doing jiu-jitsu. And even just this morning, I put up the picture from jiu-jitsu last night. I'm back at jiu-jitsu now. I'm doing the drills, focusing on them. But I can't even kneel down for the picture at the end. You know, so that's what I put up this morning on my stories. I'm standing behind the guys kneeling down, because the higher belts are meant to kneel at the front, and I'm purple belt, but I couldn't do it. And, you know, part of me is like, fuck's sake, like, you know, I can do all these other things and I can't kneel on the floor. But I've literally used the same perspective mindset here again. Because I tore the right meniscus. What did I think way back when that happened? This has gone on a while now. It's gone on a few years now, because it happened during COVID initially. So then... if you can't do what you want, do what you can. Couldn't do jiu-jitsu, what can I do? Strength training and rehab. Did those. Like upper body strength training, did the rehab. Then in terms of martial arts, once I'd rehabbed the leg, I tried to go back to jiu-jitsu and I tore again. So I basically can't bend the knee fully without surgery. It's just, you know, the scan says it's past the point of repair. So it would have to all be taken out. But, if I can't do what I want to do, what I can in terms of martial arts. I can't do jiu-jitsu, what can I do? Well, I actually thought kickboxing and stuff was cool. I love watching UFC. Maybe I'll start that. So I started kickboxing, and I'm doing it like a year now, and I love it. And I'm actually so much better now than I was at the start, just seeing a few clips I recorded the last time I was sparring on the bag, and I'm actually loving that now, and I'll do that for life. So there you go. Maybe I never would have done kickboxing because I'm too busy doing jiu-jitsu, but the obstacle has turned into an opportunity there, and I did kickboxing instead. And now, because I was waiting for the surgery to come back to jiu-jitsu, he said he's not doing the surgery. It's the chessboard of life again. It's like I've been checkmated again. I waited so long for this surgery to get back to jiu-jitsu. And, you know, I'm not checkmated yet, but they're coming close to it. And it's like, am I going to roll over? It's like, no, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. I've checkmated them now. Because I can't be stopped. Like, I won't settle. If I can't do what I want, I'll do what I can. So I'm going back to jiu-jitsu, and I'm back a few weeks now. I can't spar 100%. Well, I can, but it's too risky. So I'm focusing more now on the technique, on the drills. And just light sparring with partners that I trust. And I'm actually taking the view now. I'm zooming out. If I was to think, what do I have as any gift to give this world? I'm not the best athlete. I'm not the best this. I'm not the best that. I got heart as a teacher. That's my own opinion. Like, I love learning things. I love self-development on myself. And I love teaching it and passing it on to other people. In whatever form. Physical freedom, mental freedom, life design, whatever it is. I love that. That gives me great purpose. And people tell me that I've taught them a lot better than other people. You know, as the world will tell you what your gifts are, because people would tell me that years ago in recruitment jobs and different things, that I just did things in a different way and it helped them. So listen to those signals from the world on what is it that you seem to be doing better in a more natural way, and you double down on that. So I'm thinking that about that with jiu-jitsu now. You know, I was back before kind of trying to compete a few times, different things, and this knee injury forced me to think about it. Look, I'm 31 now. You know, I've come through so much chronic pain and injury and stuff to get back. And I will get the surgery. I will come back fully. But what's the goal? Do I care about becoming, you know, Ireland champ of jiu-jitsu, whatever? I don't really. You know, like, it's the teacher thing. I want to actually start teaching jiu-jitsu soon. And even I'm going to be, my brother wants me to teach him. So I'm going to start teaching my brother. So I've never actually taught it yet. But I love it, and I want to teach it. I'll teach my future kids. You know, I've actually taught, like, ex-girlfriends and my sister and stuff. Like, I do believe everyone should know some self-defense. But I want to start teaching it now. I'm purple belt. Like, you're allowed to start teaching a purple belt. You know, vastly more than enough to teach, like, beginners. So that's what I'm thinking now. And then through that lens, it's like, yeah, it's not all about the hard sparring for, like, teaching. Like, it's really learning and focusing on the technique, which, I'll be honest, I wasn't so much. You know, you go in and it's a lot of ego and sparring and trying to beat people and stuff, but this has forced me to actually really focus on technique now. because the kind of hard sparring has been taken away. So you can see it here again. Torn meniscus, big issue. Can't bend my knee for fucking like 2 or 3 years. What have I done with that obstacle? Flipped it, turned it into opportunity, took those bricks, keep building my castle. I'm a year experience in kickboxing, I love it. And now I'm back at jiu-jitsu and I'm more focused on kind of learning it in terms of teaching rather than, you know, kind of beating people, ego kind of stuff. So there you go again. Like, what can be done to me that I can't use this to not settle and keep living life true to myself? So that was it. We'll finish off then with Sophie. So this is the most recent client finishing up on the Physical Freedom Program. And this is actually why I made this episode today, because I was just reading her review that she did for me. And as you'll see, what does she say down near the end? If you can't do what you want, do what you can. So I'll just have a quick read through it here. Sophie Crosby. So, yeah, I was struggling with chronic pain in multiple joints, my back, shoulders and knees. I'd previously been very active doing weightlifting and sailing, but had to stop these due to chronic pain. I tried online coaches before and they didn't help much with my pain, but after reading Mark's story, I could see he would understand where I was coming from. I wasn't able to go to the gym. I was constantly in pain. I was very inactive and struggling with pain in day-to-day activities because of the chronic pains that I had. Mark has helped me so much with my back pain especially. My back pain has hugely improved. I have no knee pain. My shoulder pain has significantly improved. My mobility and strength have noticeably improved. I went back to sailing and I'm able to do strength training in the gym with minimal pain. Mark is so approachable and friendly. He was so understanding of where I was coming from. I was able to discuss my issues with him and figure out practical solutions. If something wasn't working, we figured it out and tried something else. So genuine and a really nice guy. I feel my self-confidence has improved. I like Mark saying, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. And I now have found activities that I really enjoy and I'm able to get back to them. Go for it. I would do it over again without hesitation. There you go. Jeez, I nearly get a bit emotional when I read those things. I'm like, you know, you kind of work with people for so long and then, like, what was that? I think that was nearly, she returned, I think, maybe after 7 months. And we kept working together up to maybe, I think it's just over a year. Because we were working more on, like, strength training and stuff then after that. I suppose people don't really know, but I do have a few strength training clients as well. But my heart is in, like, yeah, helping people. Literally, like Sophie there, like, had to settle, chronic pain and injury. She was mad, used to be mad into, like, weightlifting and stuff. She was sailing as well, and she's a sailing instructor, and yet she can't do any of those things. And suffering from chronic pain every day. You know, it's fucking shit. It's fucking shit. Been there before for years. So, yeah, to help her through that, that's why I do it. You know, and you can see there, like, pain, yeah, it's not, if you learn about pain, you'll see, like, it can't be ever eradicated or turned off, whatever, but you learn how to manage it. You'd reduce it massively, back in the gym, back sailing, back doing everything that she loves to do. And she's actually a physio as well, or she's studying a physio, so she's graduating soon, and she'll go on, use all the information to help her own clients in future. So yeah, what a fucking inspiration, because she had some really bad issues and bad nerve pain in the back and loads of other things. And even coming on from that, when you'll see the review I put up on Saturday, you'll be listening to this on Monday, she actually won a world championship in sailing as well, coming through all of this. So like, fucking hell, what an inspiration Sophie is. And as you can see there at the end, yeah, what's one thing that really helped her? If you can't do what you want, do what you can. Because you don't just go from chronic pain injury to back to, it's a fucking journey. You know, that's why you need a coach, you need someone there with you. I had a coach, I didn't come through this myself. Like, you need someone there with you who has different mindset and strategies to help you as you're doing the rehab. And that's a core one, as you've seen from the whole thing. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. You always bring yourself back to that, because the only other option is a victim mentality. And I felt a bit of that last night. Oh, higher belts at the front, kneel down for the picture. And I'm like, oh, do the splits, can nearly do the one-arm chin-up, but can't fucking bend my knee. And I feel that victim thing going on in my head again, and even getting a bit emotional, sorry for myself. But then, I've been here too many times. You know, I know the chessboard of life. I've done that move too many times, and you lose every time. But I know the move now to win, to not set a live true to yourself. It's the empowering mindset of, if you can't do what you want, do what you can. So that's it. And at the end, and now that Sophie and a few other clients are finished up, have other reviews to put up, I'm going to be taking on a few people for the Physical Freedom Program. So if that's you, like Sophie, suffering from chronic pain and injury, you know, can't do things you love, whether it's a gym, any sport, or even just for quality of life. I have older clients as well, like 30s, 40s, just want to be able to play with their kids again. You know, so if that's what you're looking for, click on the link. So the information will be there about the Physical Freedom Program and the website as well. If you don't know who I am, you're listening to this for the first time, you'll see through the website, my story is there too, the documentary to watch that. And yeah. it'll be life changing for you. It'll be life changing for you once you come through this. See what's possible, even if you've been told by the healthcare route, you can't do this, you can't do that. We've all been told it. I've been told it. All the clients you'll see in the reviews on the Physical Freedom page, 80% of them have told the same shit. So, look, don't settle, squad, here. We're all not settling, moving forward, doing what we can. If that's you, click on the page. You'll see the application form there, or else send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll chat you from there and give you more information about it. So be my honour to bring you through the journey too. Okay, so that's it. Jeez, a bit pumped there for that episode. Whatever that was going on between the review and between me kind of having to use it again on my own journey. But yeah, that's good. I'm just looking now. Is there anything else to say there? No, I think that's pretty much everything. Yeah, it's the Physical Freedom Program. I'll put the links in there. And yeah, you have the Instagram links and stuff there too. Cool. No, we'll leave it there. So don't settle and do what you can.